The University of Minnesota College of Veterinary Medicine and the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa have partnered to conduct an interesting study of moose populations in our region. The purpose of the study is to compare moose here on the North Shore and moose on Isle Royale. And joining us now is Dr. Seth Moore, Director of Biology and Environment at the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Thanks for talking to us today, Seth.
Sure. Good to be here, Rhonda.
All right. So before we get to this current project, I wondered if you could speak a little bit about the Grand Portage Band's connection to Isle Royale.
Yeah, absolutely. The Grand Portage Band subsisted using resources from Isle Royale for hundreds of years prior to white settlement. And interestingly, when Isle Royale was ceded in the Treaty of 1842, there weren't actually any representatives from Grand Portage that were present at the signing. So Isle Royale didn't even officially get ceded in the treaty where it was actually intended to be ceded. And the federal government developed what was called the Isle Royale Compact in 1844 after the 1842 treaty and essentially pressured the Grand Portage Band under duress to sign it and to cede the island at that point in time.
All right. So that's been historic land, important land to Grand Portage for a long time.
Yeah. And even presently, we still have Grand Portage tribal members that go out to fish for subsistence purposes in the waters off of Isle Royale. It was used historically both for terrestrial subsistence. It was primarily caribou back then and also used for fisheries as well.
Interesting. Okay. And likewise, there's a significant cultural connection to the iconic Northland animal involved in this study, the moose. And could you say anything about the importance of the moose to the Grand Portage community?
Yeah, moose are the primary terrestrial subsistence species used by the Grand Portage Band and probably most of the northern Ojibwa peoples historically. And so for that reason, I focus a lot of my energy and time and research efforts on trying to make sure that moose will exist on this landscape into perpetuity so that Grand Portage tribal members can continue to harvest them for subsistence.
Okay. And the population of moose on the mainland here on the north shore of Lake Superior has been declining, while the moose population on Isle Royale seems to be doing quite well. Would I be correct in saying that's the reason behind this latest study?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons for sure. The moose population in Grand Portage in northeastern Minnesota is declining from a variety of reasons, most of which are linked to climate change. Interestingly, the population of moose on Isle Royale is also increasing as a consequence of climate change. So this offers a great opportunity for us to compare these two populations. And eventually, you know, our goal is to be able to do better management of moose in Minnesota so that we can turn that population trajectory into a positive trend rather than a negative trend.
Okay. And I know the study's underway, so you don't really have conclusive data on this, but what are the different stressors for the animals on the mainland versus on Isle Royale?
Right. So in Minnesota, one of the primary causes of moose mortality or moose death is brainworm, which is a parasite that occurs naturally in deer, but it is not a natural parasite to moose. So when we have higher deer populations in our region than we've had historically, we have higher rates of transmission of brainworm into moose, and that's actually the leading cause of death for moose in our region.
Okay.
Similarly, if you look at calves, for example, predation on calves by both bears and wolves is a major factor. They take about 80% of the calf population each year shortly after birth. In the Isle Royale ecosystem, there are only wolves in very low numbers presently, so they don't have that same type of calf mortality that we have on the mainland.
Okay, and why, and you said that climate change is favorable for the Isle Royale moose. In what way is that?
Well, it's interesting. The wolf population on Isle Royale began with wolves crossing over ice bridges from the mainland to Isle Royale. And when ice bridges were frequent occurrences, there was high rate of genetic input from new wolves entering the island. As ice bridges have become less frequent, the Isle Royale wolf population became so inbred that they actually stopped reproducing effectively, and then they stopped reproducing at all. So the wolf population has crashed as a result of inbreeding from loss of these ice bridges and more wolves coming to the island.
Okay. And now in recent months, that has changed a bit with the transportation of some wolves from Grand Portage and Michipicoten Island. So
yeah, that's correct. So this summer, last summer, I guess, 2018, our agency, the Grand Portage Tribal Natural Resources Management Agency, trapped and collared four wolves and assisted the Park Service in bringing those over to Isle Royale. And then more recently, the Park Service has also gotten, six or eight wolves from Michipicoten Island and brought those over as well. So I think 15 new wolves on Isle Royale.
Okay. So the study will be looking at that interaction on both the wolf-moose interaction on the mainland and Isle Royale, along with all the other things then.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And our interest is in looking at, you know, what affects moose health on Isle Royale versus on the mainland. What are some of the causes of mortality between Isle Royale and the mainland? What habitats are moose using? Because the habitats are managed very differently. Isle Royale is wilderness and is not managed in any way whatsoever, whereas the landscape in northeastern Minnesota, we have timber harvest and we have different types of management actions that can affect moose distribution and moose habitat.
Okay, there's a lot of things to look at. Okay.
Yeah, this is a fantastic opportunity. I'm really excited to be working on this project and hope that we'll be doing this comparative research for some years to come.
All right. And I understand the efforts got underway actually in February, the first with moose collaring on the island in February. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We collared first 15 moose in Grand Portage as part of our annual moose collaring program. We do that every year. And then just after we wrapped up the collaring work in Grand Portage, we took helicopters over to Isle Royale, stayed there for several days, and we collared the 20 moose on Isle Royale, 10 on each side of the island.
Okay. And in addition to collaring the moose, you do collect some scientific data, specimens from them?
Yeah, and we're taking identical data from animals on the mainland as we are on Isle Royale so that we can do these direct comparisons of moose health and things that are affecting the moose population. But in general, when we, you know, we'll dart a moose from the helicopter, it will get anesthetized by the drugs that we use. The helicopter then flies in me and Tiffany, the veterinarian, and we begin collecting data. So we put on the collar. Tiffany usually collects blood. We collect fecal samples, hair. We're collecting ticks to look at diseases in ticks on Isle Royale versus diseases in Grand Portage. And then once all of the data collection is done, we administer a reversal drug and the animal gets up and walks away and we go off to the next one.
Okay. And I did speak with Dr. Tiffany Wolf, the veterinarian with the University of Minnesota, and she said that all of the moose collared that she was involved with have been female. And so is there a reason for that?
Yeah. The Isle Royale study is really looking at female health and calf production initially. Over time, they may transition to looking at bulls as well. In Grand Portage, we actually began our research the same way. We really targeted heavily looking at cow health and calf health. In more recent years, we started adding more bulls to our data collection. I think it's interesting scientifically because bulls actually have a higher rate of mortality than cows. And so it will be interesting to see what those causes of mortality are between the sexes of moose.
Okay, and a whole nother study there.
Yep.
Okay, and I know that this is just kind of getting started, but how has it been going so far?
Oh, I think it's been going really well. We have a great set of partners that we're working with the University of Minnesota, with Michigan Technological University, and with the National Park Service. So the partnership has been great, and the data that we're getting, I think, are going to be really useful for helping to manage moose populations.
Okay. And would it be possible at some point, because I know with the collared wolves, the one that did that made news that left the island and headed back towards Grand Portage, at one point the video or like the data, the little GPS tracking thing was visible for people to see. Do you think at some point will people get to see that, see the moose moving around on Isle Royale?
Oh yeah, I think that we could probably share some of those files out, especially as long as they're not sort of real time. That's totally something that's possible.
That would be very interesting to see. Yes, it's always fun to kind of watch what the wildlife are doing out there. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, I've been speaking with Dr. Seth Moore, the Director of Biology and Environment at the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. And I have another question for you, Seth, and this might be a tough one. What would you say? There's a lot of people out there that are saying, why don't we just leave the wolves and the moose alone and let nature take its course? What would you say to those folks?
Well, I think that's a very fair question. And I'm not sure if you recall, but our initial position on translocating wolves to Isle Royale was that it shouldn't happen and we should let the populations play out naturally and then evaluate at some point later in time whether or not we should try to reintroduce wolves out there. The Park Service chose instead to translocate wolves, and we felt this was a great opportunity to collaborate with them and to try to help understand what's going on with the populations. So we chose to work with them on this rather than to oppose it after it made their decision.
All right, to gather that information, that's so critical.
Yep.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, thank you again for talking to us, Seth. Anything else that you think people should know about this project?
No, I think stay tuned and we'll see what we learn in the next couple of years. I think it's going to be a great opportunity.
Absolutely. We can't wait to hear more. Thanks again, Seth.
Yep. Thank you, Rhonda. Bye-bye.
Bye.